jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip hop, the hibbit, the hibbit of a hip, hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap, rap, rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Yes, it's the wrap. It's when we have a couple of friends here in studio with me, and we just kind of talk over the news of the week. In fact, we were just talking off the air about what things we find interesting, and there's been so much, and also in some ways so little, because it's always a project to figure out what we're going to talk about on the wrap. Craig Heinzman is with me. He is the community outreach pastor at Marcus Point Baptist Church. Craig, welcome back.
Woo! What's up, man? How you doing?
And Ron Helms, who is, I think this is his first time doing the wrap. He has been on in studio before a long time ago when Drew Buchanan filled in for me as a host. He was here, but he is a candidate for the District 4 Commission seat, the only Democrat running in the race against, three Republicans. I always want to include Jared, but Jared has not filed because he'd have to resign to run, so he's not officially in that list. Ron, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you so much, Andrew.
You bet. We've known each other for years, but I don't think I've ever had you on the show.
That's right.
Okay, sorry.
No worries. We'll meet again.
I would describe us right. as people who get along and can talk, but probably don't agree about a whole lot, which is okay. I don't mind that.
Fine with
doesn't
me.
Bother, yeah, no, it doesn't bother me at all. Well, since you're kind of, you know, running, we've had all the other candidates on for county commission. Let's start just a little bit there. You were at the meeting last night. OLF 8 was a continued punt, right? No decisions?
Oh, yeah, no decision at all. I don't think they're too excited about the new offer.
Oh, okay. But they are, well,
that one's out of,
the,
is it Tampa?
$36
is that
million,
one, is that one out of?
The $36 million one?
Yeah.
The $36 million man offer? Okay. I have to follow this for my job. I do care deeply. Even I get tired of all of the just back and forth and the nothing's good enough and we're not taking the money and the, you know.
They which thing to punt.
Which thing do I punt. Object to now about, you know, we were engaged with these folks for 6 months and now we're not going to work with them anymore. And just like, this is how you get a tech park. This is how you get a community maritime park with only a couple of parcels developed is, you know, when the government runs development, it's not great.
Right. And
sometimes, often.
Was it for the lack of great, you sacrifice good, and that's what's going on here. It's like, oh, we want the perfect thing. Well, we could get an excellent thing that's not
right.
exactly perfect,
right?
But we do have to pull the trigger at some point in time, and it does seem like we're just peddling feet right now, trying to figure out how to make this happen.
I did think it was interesting. There is this project for 25 acres that a commercial group, we don't know anything about, it's under the code signs right now, that they want at the very back side of OLF 8, and they want to buy it and establish an operation there off Frank Reeder Road. And they were talking about this a little bit during the agenda review yesterday. And Stephen Berry, I thought, made a very telling comment. He said, well, it would be nice to get something so that we can show people that we're actually willing to make a deal if the right deal comes along. And I thought, boy, brother, that's you ain't kidding.
It's right.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Doubt.
No rush.
Send, what's that?
No rush for a decision.
Right. And I get that we don't want to make the wrong one, but you know, the, what is it? The, as you kind of pointed out, Craig, the good becomes the enemy of the best or whatever.
Yeah.
So you never get anything. Yeah. This is just, in my mind, this is one of the cool little stories about how things sometimes apart from government can work really fast and really well. In Milton, we have the USA team trials and the world championships this weekend and next week for inline speed skating at Weber's Skate World, where he built this world-class skate track last year.
I did not know that it was there. I knew that there was speed skating in Milton. I don't know. I was probably one of the very few people that knew that because one of our church members is a speed skater, and that's how I found out about it. And I was like, we have speed skating in Milton?
Exactly.
Apparently we do. I didn't even know speed skating was a thing, but there it is. And it's... That's so cool. I didn't really realize we're having the world, you know, championships.
Well, not the world, but the USA, but still, and the world will come here. We will have the world championships here at some point.
That's
just
huge.
Not this year.
Tremendous.
Yeah. I think next year it's in Italy, if I'm not mistaken, because the people who are practice or are competing this weekend might qualify for the Team USA. People are moving their operations here to train at this location that he just built last year because he wanted to, because he was big on this and thought this is a good thing. And it's a world-class facility, like the one-of-its-kind kind of place in the whole world.
So this year, Italy, and next year, Milton.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah, it's just, likely.
That just, I, does that not I seem know. Such a...
It's not a word. It's not a
hey
sentence.
Hey, guys, how you
doing? It's not a sentence you hear a lot, but yes, that's exactly right.
I now have to go out and find this place.
It's
I don't skate, FYI. I'm not a skater.
You're too tall.
Well, yeah. I don't. Do you balance well on skates, Ron?
I did quite a few years ago. I may have to try again.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it looks amazing. I've been out there. It's fantastic. On slightly lighter topics, but still, I think pretty significant. Now, Ron, you're a little bit older, okay?
Than I am.
Not by that much, but a little bit older. Did you know Wheel of Fortune when it wasn't Pat Sajak? Because tonight is his last episode.
I didn't know.
No, there was. I didn't realize there was a time when there wasn't a Pat Sajak.
I think, didn't they initiate with him? Was it always him?
I think so. I think it was always Pat Sajak.
But for me, it's not just that it's always been him, but there's always been Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
Wheel of Fortune was the constant in my life, even if I didn't pay attention to it.
Absolutely.
There was
all
kind of like Jeopardy, you know?
And yeah. Right, right.
Of course, when Alec passed away, massive change, and Jeopardy's still not what it was, of course.
No,
it
absolutely.
Can't be.
I used to watch Jeopardy all the time, and I was like, eh. Now I just pass by. I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
Because it's just not the same.
I think I even stopped recording it. I had set my recorder for it, and I still have a lot of the Pat Sajak, not Pat, but the Alec Trebek episodes I haven't watched, but I want to. It's like saved for, you know, yeah, for fun for later. But, I stopped watching it, but Wheel has always been there, and now it's just, I don't know if they're going to continue with it or try to do it without him. It's hard to imagine without either of them, right?
Oh, is it? It's just him stepping away, right? Vanna's still there. Neither one of those people have aged. It's so crazy. On the outside. On the inside, but on, yeah.
There may be some difference between the birth certificate and the show age.
She's not actually turning the letters anymore.
She touches them now, right?
I think she's going to take over.
Is she?
I hope so.
That would be really cool. Yeah. I think that'd be actually good.
Why
idea.
Not? Sometimes you find out the job's different than what you thought it was, but certainly she'd be in the best position to know it and be able to do it. I mean, why not?
Oh, yes.
Speaking of things that are going away that cause a little bit of angst, pain, suffering, regret, Red Lobster. Red Lobster is bankrupt and reorganizing, and they have divided up their stores, as far as I can tell, into ones that are definitely closing or have already closed, ones that are staying open, fingers crossed, assuming we can make that work, and ones that are somewhere in the middle that are scheduled to close because the lease is too high for the revenue that that store generates, and therefore we're going to close these ones unless we can renegotiate the lease and get a more favorable deal, which would include 9th Avenue in Pensacola.
Oh, okay. So that is on the job.
It's not a done thing, but it's going to happen unless something comes to save it. Red Lobster going away, I discovered I suddenly cared about yesterday. When was the last time you ate at a Red Lobster, Ron?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
A long while.
That's probably part of the problem.
Yeah, years. But it's always busy when I drive by on a Friday night. But I don't.
It's weird. I mean, Red Lobster, it's kind of weird in Pensacola.
It is in Pensacola. That's what I was thinking.
There's
same
some
thing.
Other. We have some other chain restaurants that it's kind of weird in Pensacola. I mean, it's not that they're bad. It's just that.
Right. We could go to, you know, we can go downtown
fish house,
to the fish house
hole,
or
Atlas.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's lots and lots and lots of alternatives, right?
Right.
For great seafood.
Joe Patty's.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So my question though is,
but you can't get cheddar biscuits here.
Well, see, that's the point. I discovered yesterday that a food I had not eaten in probably 20 or 30 years. I cannot remember the last time I've been to a Red Lobster. But all of a sudden I'm like, man, I gotta go get me some cheddar biscuits before I can't get them anymore. Now, obviously, I wasn't all that motivated until yesterday, and I'm still today thinking to myself, do I really care that much? But there is a part of me that's like, get them before they're gone. Am I wrong?
Oh, absolutely not. Because I had heard Red Lobster's closing, but I didn't know that ours was on the block, and now I'm going,
Because you don't want to find yourself.
And we're cutting away gluten in our house because my wife's got some gluten sensitivity, so we're trying to cut it away. But we're like, cheddar biscuits. We may have to just, you know.
And I guess I don't want to find myself in 2030 thinking, man, you know, before they left, I could have.
You have them in the freezer, you take them home in the doggy bag, you put them in a Ziploc bag, and you take
You joke, but so my mother-in-law moved from St. Louis to Jacksonville recently, last year. And last purchase I made out of Alton coming here, out of St. Louis coming here, was I got like a 20-pack of White Castles because I knew I wasn't likely to see White Castle again for a while. I still have three in my freezer, and I'm scared to eat them because they're the last ones I got.
Can't you get White Castles like in the?
That's not the same.
Okay, I don't know.
I miss White Castle badly.
You what?
I miss White Castle.
They're so good.
Yeah.
We're bringing.
Are you a Red Lobster? Are you going to go get biscuits? Do you care?
Now that I think I will.
I hope they keep. I've never made the mix at home, but I assume it's terrible by comparison.
It's not as good. We've made the mix, but
You've tried it. David's in the newsroom. David, you've tried it.
No, the mix is great.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was.
As good as, to tell the like difference. 80%? What?
Oh, easily. Maybe better. I don't know. Yeah.
But they also have frozen ones now. I just found it where you stick it in the air fryer.
Yeah.
Or the oven.
That might be better.
Those are real good.
Okay. Probably better.
Maybe I don't need to help prop up this dying industry anymore.
But we're getting some. I notice we're getting more like out of market northern stores.
Everybody
Wawa's
wants to invest,
coming down here
right?
now. You've
right?
got so maybe Chipotle's
maybe
White
here
Castle.
In several locations.
Maybe White Castle's next.
There's one in Orlando. I think it's the only one that we've got. Yeah. We're late to traffic. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives. John.
That's right. Just seeing one accident right now that just popped on the big board. North Palafox Street. No roadblock with that, but there is a vehicle crash causing some delays. Also, Highway 90 through the construction zone, you're also experiencing delays there. I'm John Pickens with the traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Do you care much about the Hunter Biden trial, either of you guys?
Nope.
Really?
I mean. Excellent commentary.
It's just, yeah. Ugh.
Okay,
the
so
thing,
can just, give me my thought about this. I feel like. The people who are really into this case with Hunter Biden, what it is for them is the pent-up frustration of not being able to get what they think is justice on him for the Ukrainian stuff or the laptop story that got suppressed or Biden hatred in general. It's a proxy for all of that, and it's like, finally, something with a Hunter. You know, am I wrong?
I wouldn't say that you're wrong on that at
on
all.
On its
but
face... Who cares?
Yeah.
It's a guy who bought a gun and lied about his drug use, and yeah, he's a drug addict and whatever. But I mean, if it weren't the president's son, this would not even be news.
Well, I think that
this would be another Thursday in Poughkeepsie, right?
Tagged with the New York trial of Trump. I mean, that's where you go. Well, if you're going to go after us for this something so stupid that honestly multiple people didn't want to bring, we're going to finally bring it, and you know. I'm not going to say, you know, rig it, but we're certainly going to slant it towards a conviction. Now, all of a sudden, we're like, okay, well
we see justice on the other side.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it. You know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Okay, well, that's not how that should work, but.
It's not how it should work. And, I mean, you know, the comparison between the two, Trump is the former president and an actual likely will be president again, regardless. Hunter Biden is. It just happens to be related to somebody.
He's an epic screw up.
It should just be a private matter. I mean, we'll be interested in the verdict, definitely, but who's Hunter Biden?
Right. Yeah. I mean, if it were related to some other kinds of things, international things or politics or something, but if it's just guy used drugs, dated his dead husband's.
That was weird. Now, that's one thing I did learn out of this, and I was like, okay, now wait a second. Hold on. So he dated his. His brother's widow.
She threw the gun away, right?
She did. She was the one who threw the gun away. Yeah.
Discovered he was. I mean, so it's a lurid story.
It definitely has some tabloid, you know,
right.
exposure. But does it have any substantial political?
How does this change my life?
Thank you. Thank you.
Does this bring me closer to my fellow man? Does this bring me closer to Jesus? I mean, it's, you know, none of the above, right? Does this make my marriage better? None of the above, right? All right. So switching gears a little bit. Very interesting story. We talked about this today. The kind of story that I think has not gotten very much attention. It's a little complicated, so I'm going to explain it. Florida's death penalty statute sentencing has been in and out of the courts and the news for as long as I've been a resident here. Okay, the Hearst murder at the Popeyes on 9 Mile is the reason that Pensacola has been in all of these stories because... That case, back when we had a certain protocol for the death penalty, went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court says, you can't do it that way. And we got a new protocol, which required unanimous jury agreement on the aggravating factor, a unanimous jury agreement that the aggravators outweigh the mitigators. You know, the judge can't escalate to death penalty from life and, you know, unanimous jury verdict, okay? And then, you know, there was some tinkering, okay? And then Nicholas Cruz got acquitted from Parkland, because of the unanimity requirements, and then we revised the law again to where now, what is it? I think it's 8-4 now. You have to have 8.
right.
who say yes. And there's still some of the particulars in. But now you've got a case. There's a guy who was a part of a threesome involved in a murder. One of the people involved has gotten life. One of the people involved has is getting the death penalty. I forget. And he's getting the death penalty. But if he had been tried earlier, his trial was delayed by a hurricane, he would have fallen under the old protocol that had to have a unanimous verdict, and he's convicted on an 8-4. So he's getting executed because his trial date fell on the wrong side of a calendar demarcation. This is absolutely going back to the Supreme Court, right? I mean, you can't have people being executed on the basis of when their court date is, right?
Right. I agree.
I think it's, yeah. But then somebody's going to get convicted on either side of that calendar either way.
Right.
You know, that's what my thinking is. How does the Supreme Court rule on that? Because
it is clearly unusual punishment. It's cruel and unusual punishment because of the wide variety of the protocols. And we're trying to get our stuff together, and it's a hot mess.
Perfect for an appeal.
Yeah.
It is good grounds for appeal. He'll probably get that. We have to figure this stuff out, obviously, because
we do.
We're in a situation where we're just spinning wheels, and it's hard enough. That Popeye's murder, I remember that. I remember because I lived down the street from it. And, I mean, that was absolutely just an insane.
It's a horrific event.
It was a horrific event. And you think to yourselves, our justice system has to have the checks and balances that make it so that a person who is innocent does not get, you know, wrongly convicted. We do know that happens. We understand that happens. So we have to have those checks and balances. But those checks and balances can't be so vast that we can't actually administer punishment. That's where we have some problems.
If we can't execute him, then who can you? And Nicholas Cruz, same thing.
Correct.
The difference is we're trying to execute him, and then because of the new rules, we couldn't execute Nicholas Cruz, and here we are trying to figure this out. And you're right, by the way. Somebody who committed a crime now, they happen to fall on a different side of the date. So that's, you know, the way things are, which, of course, is going to happen when you change rules. But like I said, I've been following the death penalty statute in Florida and our use of the protocols ever since I've lived here for 10 years, and I can't believe that it is still so confusing. So, I don't know, Ryan, any thoughts?
No thoughts.
Okay.
Except it's right for an appeal.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
And we have to go with what the law is now, I think.
437-1620. Feel free to weigh in or text me about any of your thoughts or what else do we have going on. So I didn't get a chance to talk about this one today, but it is, to me, it's fascinating. In the realm of Supreme Court things. So I think about 3 months ago, I learned, and I didn't know this, that trials are... All right, let's do a pop quiz. See how much you know.
Okay, let's go.
Ready, Ron?
I object.
Fair enough. Okay, in a capital murder trial, how many jurors in the state of Florida?
12.
It is 12. In a non-capital trial of any crime whatsoever, how many jurors in the state of Florida?
8.
15.
6.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm harder on crime than you are.
But when you watch TV, no, it's always 12 for everything. So
it's
TV
12 for you.
Yeah,
12 angry men.
Florida is one of these states where there's only a couple of them that have 6 jurors on most every trial other than capital cases.
That's amazingly small.
You know, I'm actually really glad you mentioned jury because I have jury duty on Monday and I completely forgot. So that...
I am serving the public interest. Okay.
Yeah.
So here's where this gets interesting. Somebody has been... I forgot the fact of the case, but they've been... I think they've been convicted, on a, you know, a 6-person jury. And they're appealing that conviction to the Supreme Court. Their argument is a jury is supposed to have 12. And a jury is supposed to have 12 because it was always 12 historically. 6 is a denial of due process because it's not enough jurors. Now, historically, they've said that 6 is fine. Okay, Florida is legal.
Right.
But they're raising objections such as when you have a jury of 6, then you can exclude black people more easily and you can create a less heterogeneous, a less mixed pool, okay, of jurors. That 6 offers more possibility for bias in the jury. You know, it only takes 1 to stop 12, but maybe that 1 gets excluded from the 6 or doesn't show up for the 6. So the argument is that you're entitled by the Constitution to 12. Supreme Court says they're not going to hear the case, which happens all the time.
Right,
cases aren't
ripe.
It's not the right time, whatever. There's all kinds of reasons why cases don't get heard. Neil Gorsuch writes, a dissent, which is rare, dissenting from the decision to hear the case, to not hear the case. And he says, we should absolutely hear this case. This is a denial of justice. The founding fathers never intended for you to have a six-person jury. Thoughts?
Ron, I'll take you first.
I've stumped the room.
I'd want a larger jury.
I think so too.
I mean, I do think it's,
if you're a defendant,
anything,
I mean, you want it to. You want it.
Ron's like, I didn't do anything, but if I hit the head, I would want one.
Well,
yeah,
look,
no, you're right.
The chance of getting, you know, 16% of the jury pool versus getting, you know, 8% of the jury pool in order to get a hung jury.
Yeah, I definitely think that six is problematic. I think at that point in time, you know, it's easier to get to a decision, obviously, and it requires less people to make that happen in terms of having to go through jury selection and all this other
right.
stuff. But I can definitely see where his case stands and say, yeah, there is probably some inherent bias in that.
I mean, if it was a jury of six, 12 Angry Men would have been over in 5 minutes. Peter Fonda might not have been on the jury trial, on the jury, right?
But he might have been on the
well,
jury.
Well, he might.
I mean, so that's the thing. That, now you're talking about, you know,
hypotheticals
sure. that could have happened. It could have been all Henry Fonda's, and then
you know. It could have been.
So
was it Henry? I thought it was Peter. I could be wrong.
Me, Peter?
I don't know. It doesn't.
It was a Fonda.
It was black and white.
It wasn't Jane.
Black and white.
We know that much. It wasn't Jane.
Nice. Well done.
You're welcome.
All right. You guys watching the NBA Finals at all?
No, I am not watching the NBA Finals.
I recorded it last night, but of course the news always ruins these results for me. So I haven't watched an NBA. I realized we were talking about NBA players the other day, and I haven't watched an NBA game in a while.
Yeah. Yay sports.
And the only WNBA I see is the highlights on how Caitlin Clark gets pushed around.
She's getting hit a lot. Yeah, I mean, she's getting hit a lot. I'm not going to lie.
Ron Helms, Craig Heinsman, thanks.
Listen on air.
Thank you, guys.
2.3.